Hey everyone, and welcome back to Content Rookie. I have to apologize that it's been, I think, over 2 weeks since my last episode, and that wasn't planned. In fact, unfortunately, very suddenly, my dog died last week. She had a brain tumor, and we had to put her down right away. And that hit me and the entire family very hard. And so I've been struggling a lot with motivating myself to, well, do things and keep my shit together. But today I felt like I really want to do this episode. Today's episode is going to be on UX writing. It's going to be more of a general introduction rather than a very specific session, because I hope that I'm going to be able to do more detailed sessions later on and really explore the topic of UX writing. But for now, I'm going to start slowly, and I think this could be a great episode for anyone who doesn't really know what UX writing is and wants to learn more about it. Maybe if you're a designer and you sometimes have to develop your own copy, this could be useful for you as well. But also anyone who's writing in any other type of content or copy that wants to understand, hey, is UX writing maybe something I want to learn more about? So stay tuned for that, and I apologize in advance if I'm a bit slower at this episode, maybe not as quirky as I normally am. It's due to the circumstances, and I hope you can still enjoy the episode and learn something today. So thanks for joining. So UX writing, it really feels like it's one of those disciplines that have only popped up maybe over the last couple of years and have really gained momentum right now. We see a lot of companies hiring their first UX writers. I think there's more and more talk about the discipline of UX writing. And personally, I think that's great. And I can definitely agree with the recent surge in popularity for UX writing, because I think I've been UX writing for probably my entire career, but it wasn't really called UX writing in the beginning of it. It was just another form of copywriting, sometimes referred to as micro-copywriting, but also as just copywriting for applications, technical copywriting. It had many names, but I definitely think that UX writing, which is short for user experience writing, is the most appropriate one. And I'm really happy to see that more and more companies are taking it seriously these days, because I think it's very essential to building human, very nice, smooth user experiences. So what is UX writing then? I've seen a lot of opinions on this. Some people very strictly say that they think UX writing has nothing to do with traditional copywriting, and I don't really agree with that. I still believe that most of UX writing is still, in the end, about persuasion and persuading the user to do something, to take the next step, not necessarily buy something from you, but to do something in your application, to understand something. And so what I believe UX writing is that it's a marriage of two disciplines. And the first one is user-centered design, and the other one is traditional copywriting. And that's how I explain it when I give workshops on this or teach UX writing. And there's a really nice image from the UX Writing Hub. I think if you just Google what's UX writing, it's one of the first images you'll find. And they've made the circle diagram where you can see very clearly there is UX research, content strategy, design, and UX writing is in the middle of that, mainly covering the design field. It's about 50-50 in the design field and 50% in the content strategy field. And then it also has a small overlap with UX research, which I find very important, because I think this is something that is often overlooked. Companies may bring in a UX writer. Yay, that's great. And that person can probably help designers and really improve the user experience. But they also often forget that UX writing ideally also needs to be to have a great foundation in UX research and needs to be a part of user testing and all of those things. So I'm really happy to see that this is communicated in this image, and the company I'm currently working for is actually also great at doing that. And it was a big plus for me when I went into this position that I wanted to make sure that as a UX writer, I also have access to user research. But so what is a UX writer really good for? So a UX writer is actually really great at paying attention to details. That's kind of what we're trained to do. We look at maybe a design flow or a sign-up flow, something that you're already developing or something that is already live, and we pay attention to the small things that you may easily overlook. Things like, on this page, we use a specific term that then we don't use again, or we call the same thing different things, or the tonality is all over the place, or we're providing information here that we really don't need at this step of the flow. So it's really about immersing ourselves in that flow and then paying attention to details that are otherwise overlooked. UX writers are also really great at setting an overall content strategy that will help increase consistency and relevance. And I think this is a big, big issue that I believe is one of the reasons that a lot of companies are starting to motivate bringing on a UX writer. As products develop ongoingly, it's not like you launch an app or you launch a service or you launch a website and then that's that. Like, you're constantly adding to it, taking things away, changing things. And with that, consistency just naturally disappears. And things may become less relevant, terms may become really confusing, where you maybe have a specific term for your users that you used to introduce very heavily early on. You may have removed that, and now the term is still floating around, but new users may not understand what you're actually talking about. And so here's where UX writers can be really helpful at outlining a content strategy and helping to increase that consistency and ensuring that their relevancy is still there. Then, of course, another thing, a very obvious benefit of having a UX writer, is that they can help simplify flows and make interactions more human. So when a designer goes in and creates a suggested flow, let's say it's for a sign up, then a UX writer could come in and probably simplify that by saying, hey, we don't need to mention these things here. We can probably simplify this form because we don't need that information at this part. Or they may say, okay, but there's additional context that we need to provide the user before they sign up and so forth. So that's a very important part, to really keep an eye on flows, making sure they make sense and that they're as simple as can be. Then the other part is that in the design process, it can often happen that you have too much of a focus on the actual product rather than the person that is going to use it. And UX writers, a good UX writer, is really good at bringing that kind of human focus back to the design process. So they will say, hey, okay, like, we need to shorten this because this just doesn't feel natural for a person to go through this. Or this next step is great if we want to provide that context here, but it doesn't feel like something that would maybe be the next step in the natural conversation that we have with this user. So UX writers are really good at kind of bringing that element in. And of course, connecting to the setting a content strategy, they're also good at crafting a narrative that ties flows together. So as mentioned earlier, usually when you have a tech product, you're updating things in different teams all the time. Things change really quickly. New things are added, things are taken away. And the UX writer can often take responsibility for ensuring that all those different flows that you're working on, all those different parts of the product that are being developed at any time, that they somewhat tie together. And at least the language is consistent and the narrative behind everything is consistent and tells the same story. And I think that's a very, very important part of the UX writer's job and really a key skill that they bring to the table. Then, of course, they're also usually responsible for and hopefully great at adding personality to whatever writing, whatever microcopy you have in your service, in your app, on your website. And they are often also a bridge that kind of connects with the brand there. So while designers usually have brand guidelines and a lot of companies also have tonality guidelines, tonality guidelines not always apply 100% to UX writing, just because the clarity and the simplicity are so much more important than necessarily bringing in a personality. However, a good UX writer will be able to make those calls. Hey, here we have the opportunity to really show something from our brand, so we should do that. So we should have some more tonality here. Or to say, hey, here it's a high friction moment. We should be very clear here. We shouldn't waste any space or any words on trying to kind of bring in our tonality. We should just very clearly say what's up and then move on. And with that, of course, UX writers are also good at increasing accessibility. I mean, not everybody is just naturally going through a flow with buttons. I mean, we have to think of different age groups here and different cultures. So UX writers usually have an eye for accessibility and where it's important and where words in that sense can help with that. And last but not least, and unfortunately, this is, I think, a reason why a lot of companies bring on UX writers in the first place. And it's that UX writers have a reputation that they can solve problems cheaply. So, and this I've seen a lot in the past, and it's one of the reasons I actually moved away from UX writing short-term projects for specifically startups, and that is that there is this reputation that we can solve problems cheaply. So often an entire flow, an entire service will have already been designed by a couple of designers. In most cases, it's even already developed and coded. And then maybe people start testing it and the company realizes, hey, this isn't working. People have too many questions. People don't understand. People don't know where to click. People aren't using the service in a way that we thought they would use it. But we spend all this money on designing and developing it, so we can't change the actual flow. But what we can do is, we can bring on a UX writer that can just fix it with the words. While yes, there of course is an opportunity that a UX writer can come in and can help reduce friction points, it's not the ideal scenario. The ideal scenario would be to have a UX writer there from the beginning that really helps the designer think through the overall content strategy and narrative, and to have the UX writer in for several iterations where the flow can still be adjusted. But of course, if you're completely out of money, it is a way to at least reduce friction and maybe reduce customer service inquiries. It's of course cheaper than designing everything anew, but it's not my favorite reason for bringing on a UX writer. And then, you know, often I am asked, well, when should we bring on a UX writer? And honestly, the answer is now. It's always now. I think a UX writer can highly benefit any tech solution, no matter if it's an app, no matter if it's a website, no matter if it's a service. A UX writer, bringing a UX writer on from the beginning, when you bring on your designer, can really, really help you and solve problems in the long term and reduce problems in the long term. And I get that sometimes companies may feel, hey, we don't really have enough work for a full-time UX writer. And, you know, then I think it's totally fine to bring on a contractor. But I would still rather encourage you to bring on that contractor early on in the process and not in the end when everything is done and you just want them to fix it up. Because really, that is not how UX writing works. And for me, that actually is a big difference between UX writing and traditional copywriting. Because with traditional copywriting, you know, you may have defined your campaign, you may have defined your goals, and you just need a copywriter to make them sound nice and to work their magic and to attract customers and users. But with UX writing, it's not like that, because UX writing is really good if it's part of the design process from the beginning. And that's also why in most companies, UX writers sit in the design team and they're an integral part of the design team, because they bring a different skill set that is needed from the get-go. So it's definitely something I want to stress. But so why would you even need UX writing? Well, it's a bit about the reasons that I stated earlier for bringing on a UX writer. But if we look at it more practically, and this, of course, is also the reason why more and more companies are waking up and realizing they want UX writers, it's the fact that UX writing can really help you with small moments of friction to increase engagement there, to reduce churn that you may not be able to solve just with writing. And one of my favorite examples is actually from Google. If you want to book a hotel room over Google, they have this form, and the form's title used to just simply be book a room, which, you know, sounds simple enough. And then you put in your check-in and your check-out date. But a UX writer changed that to check availability instead of book a room. And just that small change from book a room to check availability increased engagement by 17%. And I mean, that is massive. And I'm pretty sure it's not something normal people would think about. But from A/B testing, they realized, hey, like if we switch this from book a room to check availability, then users are going to relate more to it. It's not, book a room is like already very direct. You will only click it maybe if you're really sure you're going to book a room now. But check availability is a bit softer. So you may actually use it, you know, to check dates in the future where you're not sure yet if you're going to travel or not. And so it's great if the main goal on this page is just to increase engagement, which of course it is for Google, because it saves cookies and it knows exactly what dates you checked. And even if you're not sure you want to go, then it can deliver ads to you for your specific dates. And, you know, it's a great way in for them. So it's a very valuable KPI for them to just increase engagement on this page. So that's like, I think, a very prime example of where UX writing can come in and can really help with actual numbers and actually make your company money, if we talk about it like that. But then another example is, it's a bit less obvious. So here we have, up next, keep track of upcoming due dates, mentions, and tasks. Got it. Dismiss message. Versus, up next, here are all the upcoming due dates, mentions, and tasks. Got it. Dismiss this. So both of these messages are, of course, not horrible, but one of them still is much stronger, and that is the first one, because it's active voice. Up next, keep track of upcoming due dates, yada, yada, yada. While the other one is, up next, here are all the upcoming due dates, mentions, yada, yada, yada. So it's the small things. It's often really about fine-tuning the text that has to be there, but then it's also often about actually deciding, does the text have to be there? And I think this is something that I do a lot. Somebody will come to me with, hey, what should this message say? This is what we want the user to do, blah, blah, blah. And I'll think about it and I'll explore different messages. And after a while, I realize, hey, like, actually, we don't have to say this because this is a context the user doesn't need. We maybe just need to show them a button, or we maybe need to visualize this instead. So really, it's a lot about thinking through exactly the text that is there, fine-tuning it, thinking about the user journey, the user flow. What is the user thinking? What is the user feeling at this point? What are they experiencing? And also thinking about what they expect. So what do they expect when they see this message? What do they expect to happen next? What do they want to do when they get to this point in your product? Is it, do they really want to book a room, or do they just want to check availability? So yeah, it's difficult to explain, but it's easiest to see on some examples. And as I mentioned earlier, I do believe that there is an overlap with UX writing and traditional copywriting. And specifically, that overlap for me is about persuasion. And the first principle of persuasion still is clarity. And a great example I just love here is the concept of priming, which is basically about when you have to ask your user something that is a moment of high friction. Like, let's say you want them to activate location settings or notifications, then it's nice to prime them before you ask them, because then there is a higher chance that they will actually do it. And a great example here is Headspace, the meditation app. So as pretty much any app, they would like to send you notifications. And then, of course, the notifications message is automatically triggered from your phone provider. So like from your iPhone or from your Android phone. And it's pretty boring. It's like, Headspace would like to send you notifications. Notifications may include alerts, sounds, and icon badges. These can be configured in settings, and then you can allow or don't allow or press OK. But Headspace, before this message is triggered, sends you a really nice priming message. And it goes like this. Need a gentle nudge? Enable notifications to receive reminders to help you on your Headspace journey. Allow access or not now. And it's a very nice way to connect the notifications to something you will actually want and that you'll actually deem useful. So first of all, they don't call it a notification, they call it a gentle nudge, right? And then they very clearly state that you'll only get them to help you on your Headspace journey. And assuming that you're gonna get this message when you just signed up for an account and you're active and you're excited about this, you're very much more likely to actually press allow access here. And I think this is also a very nice example of how to bring in a brand tonality in a way that isn't necessarily annoying, which I think is something a lot of brands struggle with. They try to push their tonality in too much. You know, it's a gentle nudge, it's your Headspace journey. So it has certain brand elements, but it's not too pushy in that sense. So yeah, I think that is like a very brief introduction into UX writing, what it's about, when a UX writer can be helpful, and how they can be helpful. And I think this gives you a pretty good understanding of what UX writing is all about. But I think if we have to summarize, you know, what are the basic features of an effective UX text? I think everybody agrees on this. It should be clear, easy to understand what you're talking about. The core message should never be blurred or complicated. It needs to be concise. So it needs to be a meaningful piece of text, concentrated on the goal. No empty talk should be included. It needs to be useful. So it should give users necessary information or help with interactions. And it needs to be consistent. So within the interface, all the copy of one digital product should keep the same style, tone, voice, and especially terminology. This is definitely key. So it's those three things: clear, concise, useful, and consistent. And if that's something you're really passionate about, well, then UX writing may really be for you. And to wrap up this episode, I just quickly wanted to talk about what UX writers actually do in regards to the process behind UX writing, because I don't think it's too different from writing in general, but I think the focuses are maybe weighted a bit differently. So a very important aspect that all UX writers will do, no matter if you ask them for a so-called quick fix, where it's maybe just a message, or if they're supporting you throughout the creation of an entire new flow, UX writers very heavily rely on research. And this is mainly user insights. So do we know anything about user behavior already in the service or in this tool? And if we don't have that, they will do their research by looking at competitors, by looking at comparable flows. And that will often be the foundation of a lot of the explorations they will do. Then the actual writing is often also a bit different from, for example, content writing, in the sense that a UX writer will try to write a lot of different ways of saying the same thing. And how I at least do it is it's almost like a double diamond design process. You know, like I'm faced with an issue, I've done my research, and then I just write out every potential message I can think of that I think could be a way to communicate this. And so when I have all of those, oftentimes I will actually already have a chat with the responsible designer, and that I will use to narrow it down. And then maybe I'll be left with 4 or 5 messages that could work. And then I take those and I think a bit more. I probably talk to the designer again, and then I start rewriting those. How can I make those clearer? If I have access to, let's say, Figma or the design file, I'll start popping them in. I'll be thinking about things like, you know, character count. Does this actually fit? Is this too long? So it will mess up the design and translations. Things like that will come into play then. And I'll keep kind of working on those couple of messages that I have. And then in the end, go to the designer again. Probably I'll have 1 or 2 messages left, and we'll have a final discussion about it and eventually decide, okay, let's go for this one. Or maybe we can test both of them if we have an opportunity to do some user testing. And that's the process. And then eventually we'll get some feedback and we'll either iterate or we know we did a good job with that message. So it's actually a very collaboration heavy job. So definitely as a UX writer, I am very integrated in the design team. I talk both to designers and product managers a lot. Engineers will get involved as well every now and then, specifically when there's maybe problems with translations in certain languages or small things change in the back end. So we actually have to re-explain how to do something. So definitely it is a lot about collaborating. And for me, this is also a big takeaway that I want you to have from this episode, because I know that a lot of people, they go into writing and specifically copywriting because they want to be really independent. They want to do their own thing. They basically want to get a problem and then just get back with a solution. But UX writing is not like that. UX writing is much more collaborative. It rarely happens that somebody says, hey, can you fix this? And I can just fix it on my own. I often have to talk to other people or even ask that person that gave me the problem in the first place for clarifications. So a lot of my job also is about asking the right questions so I can offer a better solution. So it's definitely something to be aware about when it comes to UX writing and if you're interested in it. So yeah, I think that's what I have for today's episode. And like I mentioned in the beginning, I definitely want to create more episodes about UX writing, and I would love your feedback on what particularly you're interested in. If you are more interested in trying to look at some tools and some ways of working when you're working with UX writing, if you're looking more for experiences, if you're thinking about how do I train myself to get better at UX writing, so just let me know what you're most interested in, and I'll try to focus my next episodes on that. Thank you so much for joining today. Thank you so much for still listening to Content Rookie. I love all your feedback and how you've been asking for new episodes. It makes me really, really happy that you think this is useful. And yeah, thanks so much for listening, and I hope I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.